night and day, longing to see thee, remembering thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. For which cause I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer hardship with the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal, but hath now been manifested by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, I have no idea we will get that far, but I wanted to read those words. Considering this book again, I find that it is so valuable, inasmuch as I thought originally it would be important because of its bearing on the latter times, how things are going to be in the latter times. But in this book, we have older men that are going to pass off the scene. We have a middle-aged man, like Timothy, that is encouraged to continue in the work. And then this man is to pass on the truths that he had heard to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. So whether you are old or middle-aged or young, there is something in this epistle for you. And if it only had told us about Paul and Timothy, it would have been of great worth. But it tells us the relationship that existed between the two, and it was one that is of the greatest importance. We should remember this, that when we become children of God, it is not only a relationship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ, but it's a relationship with one another. It says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And it says, we love Him because He first loved us. So when we trusted Christ as Savior, a relationship is then established with God that did not exist before. We now love God. Before, we were filled with hate, but now we are filled with love and gratefulness for what God did for us. And also, like they said concerning Paul, he who once persecuted us now preacheth the faith which he once condemned. So think of this. Having trusted Christ as Savior, so many new things have come into our lives. So I have to skip over all of these other things, but just remembering that Paul makes this distinction between the forefathers of the Apostle Paul. He said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers in a pure conscience. But he speaks of Timothy and his mother and grandmother in a different way. He does not speak about their serving God as the forefathers did, but he speaks there in verse 5, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. So there is a difference. There are those who can be faithful to the religion of their forefathers. We sing that song, Faith of Our Fathers. And this is what Paul was speaking of. And it was the finest of the faiths because it was the only one that God had revealed. But it does not mean that they had the personal belief and confidence in the things of God the way that Lois and Eunice and Timothy did. And Paul is reminding Timothy of this because he himself had been reminded of it. Now, the basis of the exhortation in verse 6 is based upon what he says of Timothy in verse 5, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He has been with Timothy. He has seen his life. He has heard him preach. He has prayed with him. He understands the ins and outs of this young man. And he said, there is unfeigned faith in thee. And he says, I am persuaded that it is in thee. It was in your grandmother, in your mother, and I am persuaded it is in you. Now, this is such a good thing, because the exhortation that you give a man is dependent upon whether you can say there is unfeigned faith in the man. It was Judas Iscariot at the Last Supper, and he says to Jesus, is it I who shall betray thee? And the Lord Jesus said, thou hast said. Now, the Savior can speak to Peter and John and the other disciples in one way, because they had unfeigned faith, but he has to speak of Judas and other that he names false brethren, because he says he was in perils of false brethren, but here is a true brother, one who has unfeigned faith, and because he is persuaded that there is unfeigned faith in Timothy, as was in his mother and grandmother, now listen to the exhortation. For which cause I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. So, it is not an exhortation to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Not that. That's for those that you're not sure of. I've had so many young people to come and tell me of their experiences in the past, and then they say, was I saved at this time or at another time? I'm just not sure. And you listen to their testimony, and you have to be ever so careful lest you tell them, you are saved, now live this way. It may very well be that they have a profession that is hollow. But here, there is an unfeigned faith in Timothy, and therefore it is not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Examine yourselves carefully and see whether you are a genuine believer in Christ. But it's this. It says, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. All right. This is the subject now. Here is a man of God, one who has genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is God's exhortation to him? Stir up the gift of God that is in you. Think for a moment. The gift of God. Would you not think that Christ, who ascended on high and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, that when Christ gave a gift, it would be a permanent endowment of power, and nothing could alter the power of that gift that came directly from a risen Christ? But that's wrong. And that is how so many children of God have been misled. They think that because they are saved and they have gifts, that automatically they will be able to function because God gave them a gift, and it's truly a gift, without anything on their part to maintain the strength and the fervency of that gift. Notice how this destroys such a concept. It says, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you. The disciples found the same thing that Paul is telling Timothy, that Timothy has found out. And it's this, that no matter if you are saved and if you are gifted directly of God, that whatever God has given you can grow stronger or can grow weaker. It does not mean that because you were able to do something yesterday, that you will be able to do it today and you will be able to do it tomorrow. Because your gift was burning brightly in the past, it does not mean that without any maintenance on your part, it is going to continue to burn brightly. But I think of this, that every morning, the priest had to come in and tan to the light in the holy place. He had to trim the wicks. He had to keep those lamps burning brightly. And in like manner, there is a spiritual burning, a light that is within you, and it must be attended to constantly, or else it will grow dim, and you will wonder if you have that gift. What happened to it? I told you that the apostles found it out first. They were in the valley when Christ was on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and a man came with his son who was demon-possessed, and the apostles were unable to do anything with this demon-possessed child. And afterwards, in brief, they came to the Savior and said, "Why were we not able to cast out this demon?" And he told them two things. He said, "Because of your little faith, and this kind cometh not out save by prayer." So, if there is faith of a saving nature, there is also faith of a performing nature. A faith that saves, but a faith also that is able to work miracles. And the Lord Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, and yet the Lord Jesus said, you were unable to perform this miracle because of your little faith, and he gave this added instruction. He said, this kind cometh not out save by prayer. So, they had let their faith that at one time was strong enough to work miracles grow small, and they had failed to maintain its strength and largeness because of their lack of prayer life. Do you remember in our Savior's life, the disciples woke up and they looked around and the Lord Jesus was gone. And they had to go look for him. And it said the Lord Jesus had risen up a great while before the day and he went out into the desert places and he was praying. And that's why the Lord Jesus, even though he is God, that is why the gifts that were his by the Spirit were always of full strength and were always burning brightly, because the Lord Jesus maintained them by prayer. You would think that being omniscient, that omniscience would just naturally flow through the Lord Jesus' humanity, but it says that the Lord Jesus prayed all night long before he chose the 12 apostles in the morning. So do not think that if you are saved, that your faith is going to remain strong in the Lord. Your faith can grow small. Your faith that once was large faith can become small faith. And at the same time, this gift that once burned brightly can die down, and you look at a fire at times, and you have to get close and blow on it. And when you blow on it, then you'll see a little spark. You'll see a little light among the embers. And then you understand that that fire must immediately be cared for. And this is what Paul tells Timothy to do. He says, stir up the gift of God that is in thee. It really is this. It's rekindle the gift of God that is in thee. It's be doing it. Keep on rekindling the gift of God that is in you. So, the gift here is like a fire that once burnt brightly, but now it is died down, and Timothy is told to rekindle that fire. So here we are as Christians, and we say we are saved, but we don't understand why we don't have the confidence we did in the past. And we used to work mightily for God, but somehow I don't seem to be able to do much for God. Well, the reason is that we have not maintained the gift that is ours, and we have not maintained the faith that is ours, and our faith has grown small, and the gift that we have, instead of burning brightly, has died down to embers. And the exhortation even to Timothy is to stir up the gift of God, fan into flame, rekindle the gift of God which is in thee. Now, it says, this gift is in you through the laying on of my hands. This is most important because I want you to grasp this concept about gifts, because there is a twofold source. There is the calling of God in eternity, the choosing of God in the past eternity, and there is the choosing of man in time. Both of them are true. Now, in like manner, when Christ ascended on high, he led captivity to captive and gave gifts to men. The gift comes from Christ, but it also comes through a human instrument. And if you look in the Old Testament, you'll see that the gift that was in Joshua was in Joshua the same way that the gift is in Timothy. Joshua had this gift because of Moses, and Timothy had this gift because of Paul. And I want you to see that. Turn to Deuteronomy 34. Understand that all gifts originate from an ascended Lord. But at the same time, look at verse 9 in Deuteronomy 34. There is an instrument so often through whom a gift comes. 34:9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, isn't that remarkable? Here is Joshua, and he's prepared to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And why does he have this spirit of wisdom? It says, because Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the spirit that was upon Moses was imparted to Joshua. Now, in like manner, turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, and look at verse 14. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee through prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, that is the elderhood. So listen to it again. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the elderhood. So here we have three things involved in the gift of Timothy. There was prophecy, and there was the laying on of the hands of Paul, and we find also that there was the laying on of the hands of the elderhood, the presbytery. But what happened was this. The actual gift came through the hands of Paul the Apostle. I wish that I had power to lay my hands on you and give you these gifts, but I do not have that power. But the apostles had that power, and it was evident that the gift was latent in Timothy, and it appears just as this. Turn to Acts 13. I want you to connect these two things together. Acts 13. Notice it speaks about prophecy as well as the laying on of hands. Look at chapter 13, verse 1 of Acts. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manahem, the foster brother of Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Please notice, there is the prophetical gift going on, and these prophets make it known to the congregation that Paul and Barnabas are to be separated unto a special work for which I've chosen them. You say, prophecy did that. Yes, and for the sake of time, let me read you this verse. Listen to it. It concerns a young child, and yet this is what it says so early. It says, after this child was brought to Eli, that he grew, and the Lord was with him. And it says that Samuel did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. It said everybody knew that Samuel was to be a prophet of the Lord. He was established that way. And in like manner, there are those that were in the New Testament church, and these prophets who had the gift of discernment were aware that Saul of Tarsus and Barnabas were through with their work in Antioch, and now they were to go and serve God in a different capacity. And in like manner, all Israel looked at Samuel as he ministered, and they said, he's established to be a prophet. In like manner, the elders prophesied, the prophets prophesied, and having prophesied that this man is destined for the word of God, he's one that's going to be used of the Lord, then, when this was so, the Apostle Paul laid his hands upon Timothy, and all the elders concurred and laid their hands upon Timothy, and then is when Paul took Timothy along with Silas, and they went on their second missionary journey. Now, that's the way it was done in the past. Now, the only thing we can do is this. If there is that gift, it must have come from Christ, and it can be nurtured by someone who helps you. An older man can help a young man, but there is nothing that an older man can do for a young man if he does not have that gift that is in him. He can develop a gift that's there, but I confess that I have no ability to take up those that are ungifted, to lay my hands upon them and say, now you have the gift of prophecy. Now you have the gift of an evangelist. If so, I would go up and down the land imparting these gifts upon the church because they are sorely needed. But I can do this. The Savior said, the fields are white unto harvest. He said, the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest. And that is what I can do. And then, if I see gift in you, I can concur by laying my hands on you, showing that I have confidence in you, and I can pray for you. But I have no power as Paul. But please understand that in the early church, the apostles had this special gift from God, and it says that this gift that was in Timothy was there by the laying on of the hands of Paul. But please notice that even if Christ imparted a special gift to his apostles, that gift could become weakened and they would be unable to cast out demons and perform the miracles that they were able to perform at the first. And in like manner, a Timothy who has this special gift to serve God with the apostle Paul, that gift can become burning like embers instead of a bright flame, and because of that, the Apostle Paul says, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now notice, for God gave us not a spirit of fear. Perhaps that's the reason why that gift had died down and now needed to be fanned into flame. Fear. You remember that Peter, who at times was so zealous for the Lord, when he was afraid, he had not the courage to even confess that he knew Jesus of Nazareth. That's the sad thing. And fear was that which destroyed the testimony of the apostle Peter when he denied the Savior three times. And here is Timothy, that seems to be by nature a retiring, timid individual. And even though he has this gift from God, it did not alter his nature unchangeably. That is what you must understand. Notice that when God gave the gift, this is what accompanied it. Look at verse 7. For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and of love and of a right kind of mind. This word I want to tell you about, of power and love and of a sound mind, is translated sobriety or discipline here, but it's the same word that is used concerning legion. And after the Savior healed him, it said legion was seated and clothed and in his right mind. And so here, God gave us a spirit of power and of love, and he gave us the right kind of mind. The mind that was one of sobriety, one of discipline, that's what God gave us. Now, remember, that God gives these things, and for that reason, if I find fear arising in my heart, that wasn't put there by God. And if I find hatred in my heart, that wasn't put there by God. And if I find lack of consistent living for God, that wasn't put there by God. Because God put in us not a spirit of fearfulness. And he says the same thing in Romans chapter 8 concerning another thing. It says, for you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And so when God dealt with us as a whole, certain blessings were imparted to us. And when things other than what God bestowed upon us arise in our lives, it's because we are not attending to the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Do not think that if God has blessed you, that that blessing is permanent, will grow, will never fluctuate. You'll find that all of these things fluctuate. And in this instance, please notice, from whom did the gift come? It came from Paul. He said, you have this gift through the laying on of my hands. Well, why not have Timothy to write to Paul and say, come back again and lay your hands on me once more and recharge me? But Paul says, no, I did it in the first instance how you are to do it. There are some things that God does. There are some things that we are to do. And I want you to see these verses because they're so illuminating. Turn to Ezra. Turn to Ezra chapter 1. And let's read verse 1. Ezra chapter 1 verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus. Now I ask you, who stirred up the spirit of Cyrus? You say, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. Look at verse 5. Then rose up the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, even all those whose spirit God had stirred to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Who stirred up these men? You say, God did it. 5. Now turn back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. And look at verse 6 of chapter 30. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. It says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Do you understand? Who did the strengthening there? Was it God? It was David. David strengthened himself. And that is what has to happen to us sometime in our life. Most of us stay carnal. We stay infants in Christ. And we have to be strengthened and we have to be cared for. But there comes a time when we have to learn how to strengthen ourselves. And the time comes when we have to stir up and pan into flame the gift that is in us. And I want you to see this again. Turn to Psalm 119. I want you to see these verses. Psalm 119. And look at verse 28. I just told you that David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Psalm 119, verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen on me according to thy word. Who's doing the strengthening here? It's God. Do you understand? But the psalmist is strengthening himself by crying unto God for God to impart that strength. And I told you that the Lord Jesus said concerning the little faith of the disciples, he said, this kind cometh not out save by prayer. And so the psalmist is praying to God and he says, strengthen thou me according thy word. Now look at verse 36. It says there, incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. The psalmist is beseeching God to do something for him. He says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Now look at verse 112. Verse 112. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes forever, even unto the end. Do you see? God does it, yes. But at the same time, we are to respond. Initially, it comes from God. But when it does, then we are to take up the work that God has begun in our hearts. It says, it is God that worketh in you. You work at your own salvation. Why? Because it's God that's working in you. And you cry to God, incline my heart. And God says, I shall. And then the psalmist says, I inclined my heart. And the psalmist says, strengthen me. And then David says, I strengthen myself in the Lord my God. So these are exhortations to Timothy, this genuine believer, and this man with a miraculously imparted gift. And yet, faith can grow small, and gifts that are once flames can die down to embers. So let us take to heart what we have in Christ and maintain our faith, and let us maintain our gift as well. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, that we ever have faith in the first place is because the Father who sent the Son drew us, and then we responded. And any gift that we have, Father, it comes from Thee. But let us not think that having given that gift, that You will maintain it. Let us understand that we are to strengthen ourselves, that we are to fan into flame, to rekindle, that we are to stir up that gift which You've given us. So we thank You for everything that You have done, our Father. And we think of this, that while Timothy was being told to stir up the gift that was in him, Paul was the one at the same time assisting him by exhorting him to stir up that gift that was in him. So, Father, we have heard from Thee, and that is an exhortation in itself for us to do something about what we have in Christ. So do Thou for us what we cannot do. And then, Father, let us respond and strengthen ourselves and pray and stir up the gift that is in us. Bless us, we ask of Thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.